Today's daf is Yevamos daf Yud Zayin, and we have four lines from the bottom of daf Tes Zayin Amid Beis, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi. Today's daf's being learned as a schus refuah shleima for Avadya ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba ben Devora, Devora bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Elazar Lipa Shalom ben Feger Rachel, Sar Nechama bas Rus Malka, Baruch ben Rachel, Yisachar ben Hinda Liba, Malka Miriam bas Esther, and Esther Kreindel bas Devora. Today's daf's also being learned. Le'ilui Nishmas, Mordechai Moshe ben Zelig, Le'ilui Nishmas, Reb Shmu ben Ramosha, and Le'ilui Nishmas, Shlomo ben Yibad Chaim Toivim, Reb Chaim Doiv. So we're at the very end of the first parak of Masechtas Yevamos, the primary topic of which was the halacha that an erva and a tzaras erva and a tzaras erva that fall a yibum are potter min hachalitza u'min hayibum. Stating that, the last several dafin were a little bit of a digression. The Mishnah mentioned that whether in fact a tzaras erva is potter min hachalitza u'min hayibum was a machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. It was Beis Hillel that was ironically machmer and held that a tzaras erva is asura, whereas Beis Shammai were matirin, they were matir tzaras erva. And from there, the Mishnah and the ensuing several dafin in the Gemara digressed a little bit to talk about this machloikis Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel related to the halach of tzaras erva, and then from there, additional machloikasin between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Either way, the Gemara yesterday's daf mentioned that Rabbi Doisa ben Hurkina said that he had a Mesoira, Shal Meducha Zu Yoshev Chagei Anavi. The Chagei Anavi sat on this mortar, the Amash Loish Advarman. He said three things. Tzaras Habas Asura, Tzaras Erba is also like Bishil. Amoin Umoyov Ma'asrin Ma'isar Oni Beshvias. The lands of Amoin Umoyov, even though they had regular Kedushas Eretz Yisrael during Bayis Rishon, but in this man of Bayis Sheni, not so much. There were no laws of Shvias that were Noyeg and Amoin Umoyov, stating that Chumas Umaisuas were Noyeg, so that the people living there gave Maiserani even during the Shemitah year. And finally, Umekablin Gerim Mina Karduim Umina Tarmudim. There seemed to have been some debate amongst the Chachamim whether the people living in Karduim and Tarmudim, who clearly didn't behave like Jews, were they in fact non-Jews? Or maybe they were Jews that were born to a parent that wasn't Jewish, Evet Vikuti Habaal Bas Yisrael Havlad Mamzer, which would have a chumra then in terms of them ever becoming full-fledged Yidden, because although a non-Jew could be Megayer, and through Geiris he can become a Yid, but a Yisrael Mamzer has no takana. He has no way of being able to enter the fold. Regardless, these were the three things that Rabbi Doisa ben Hurkin has said he has a Mesoira in the name of Chagei Anavi. He even knew where he was sitting when he said these halachas. So the parak is going to end on a little bit of a digression, discussing the third of the three things the Rabbi Doisa ben Hurkin has said in the name of Chagei Anavi, and that is this concept of Umekablin Gerim and Akarduim Umina Tamudim. So we're going to discuss Talmud again, and different places where there was some debate amongst the Chachamim whether the people living there were non-Jews, which would have been a good thing from the standpoint if they ever wanted to convert and be able to marry together with Yisraelim Ksherim, that's something they would have been able to do, or were they Yisraelim and as a result Psulim, and as a result have no takana if they ever wanted to properly intermarry together with the Yidden. Zok the Gemara. And the first Gemara is rather fascinating from a historical perspective. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav Asi, Oivet Koychovim Shekidesh Bezman Azeh, if a non-Jew is Mekadesh and Isha nowadays, Choyshesh and Lekedushim, with Chayesh, then maybe he's married. Now this is a very big Kiddush, because a non-Jew does not have the ability to get married, Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. So if a non-Jew goes over to a Jewish woman and gives her a ring, says, Harei at mikudeshes li b'tabasu kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, the kedushin's not chal. Stating that, Rabbi Yehuda said, I heard from my Rebbe Rav Asi. He said that bizman hazeh, nowadays the halacha is different. That if an ovid kechavim would be mekadesh and isha, we'd be chayish for the kedushin. And the reason is, shema me'aseres hashvatimu. Because we're concerned that maybe this non-Jew is not really a non-Jew. Maybe he's a descendant of the aseres hashvatim. So what's the rest of the story? In the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Malchus of Klal Yisrael had been divided into two groups. There was the Malchus of the Aseres HaShvatim, and then there was the Malchus of the other two Shvatim, namely Shevet Yehuda and Shevet Binyamin. The two Shvatim lived in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, what was known as Judea, and the other 10 Shvatim lived in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, which was often referred to as the Galil. the division happened after the Ptir of Shlomo HaMelech. Rechavim ben Shlomo, he became the Melech in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. Yeravim ben Nevat, he became the Melech in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. But it would remain this way, where there would be two kings that were operating and functioning simultaneously in Eretz Yisrael. You had the Malchi Yehuda, they were in Shevet Yehuda Minyamin, the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. These were descendants of Shlomo and descendants of David HaMelech. And then you had what was known as the Malchi Yisrael, they were the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. Regardless, at some point, the king of Ashur came and he punished the Yidden that were living in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael. He took them into Galus. Now, he didn't take all of them, but he took the overwhelming majority of them. Where he took them into Galus, we don't know. And interestingly, today's daf is going to provide a clue. But before that, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav Asi that the Rebbe tainted that if a guy would be Mekadosh and Nisha Bezman Hazeh, you can't know for sure that he's a non-Jew. And you have to be concerned that maybe he's a Yid, and even though there's nothing about him that resembles a Yid, but maybe he's from the Aseres HaShvatim. And if he's from the Aseres HaShvatim, there's the Chayid. And if he's a Yid, you have to be Chayish for the Kedushin. This woman might be an Eish HaSish, and as a result, she cannot get married to a Jewish man unless she receives a get from this person, again, because of a concern that maybe the Mekadesh, although to us he appears like a non-Jew, is from the Aseres HaShvatim. So, frank the Gemara, an obvious question. V'hakol de parish, meruba parish, roiv oiv de kechavim are not from the Aseres HaShvatim. Let's assume that a percentage of them are, that assimilated, but the overwhelming majority, of course, are not descendants of the Jews that lived in Eretz Yisrael, in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, at the time that these Aseres HaShvatim were taken into Galus. It's a freight to Gemara, Yechayish for the Kedushin, why don't you say Rav? It's a Safik, you don't know. Anytime there's a Safik, Achi Rav and Lahatis. So why don't we say, call the Parish, Merubah Parish? So the Gemara says, Beduchta de Kvi. The only time Rav Asi said this halacha was, if this Kedushin took place in a place where we know for sure that Aseres HaShvatim were taken into Galus. So if you're in a place where you know for sure that Aseres HaShvatim ended up, even though even there it's Yitachin that the Aseres HaShvatim are the Miut, but Al Zeh Nemar, not for now, Kol Kavua Kemechza Al Mechza Dami, and for that reason you wouldn't be able to rely on the halacha of Kol the Parish Merubah Parish. Says the Gemara, was there in fact a place where they were taken into Galus? And do we know where that place is? The Gemara says, yeah. Omer Rav Abba Bar Kahana. The Pasuk says, and this is a Pasuk in Melachim Beis, Vayegel Melech Ashur Es Yisrael Ashura. So the king of Ashur took the Yidin Vayegel, Miloshim Golos. He brought them into Ashur. Vayanchem, and where did he settle them? Bachlach Uvechavar Nahar Goizon V'Arei Modeh. Says the Gemara, where were these places? Chalach Zechilozak V'Chavar Zu Chadayev Nahar Goizon Zu Ginzak V'Arei Modeh Zu Chamdon V'Chavar Yisrael. It's Chamdon and her suburbs. V'Amilasam says near V'Chavar Yisrael. It's near and her suburbs. Sok the Gemara, Chavar Yisrael, man, what are the suburbs of Nihar? Amar Shmuel said, Krach Mushchi Chidki V'Dumakya. So these names don't mean anything to us, but apparently, once upon a time, to the Amiram, they meant a lot. So the Amiram knew where the Aseres HaShvatim were taken into Galus. Right, they actually said a halacha. The halacha was that an oivet koychavim shekidesh bezman hazeh choshishim lekedushin shemo me'aseres hashvatim. So we know that where the aseres hashvatim were taken into Galus is something that's fascinated the imagination of people for thousands of years. This Gemara clearly provides a clue. This is chazals in different places that talk about a river known as the Sambatyoin, and the Chazal say that the Aseres HaShvatim were taken to the other side of the Sambatyon. And the problem with being on the wrong side of the Sambatyon is that it's impossible to cross because there's rocks and things that emerge from the river, which doesn't allow anyone to be able to come across. There is, however, one day a year, the Medrash says, that the Nar Sambatyon rests, and that's on Shabbos. But the problem is that Aseres HaShvatim, Chazal say, keep Shabbos. And because they keep Shabbos, they run into issues. And like this, they're not able to ever leave. But regardless, the Nar Sambatyon, that's something we're all familiar with. This is a Gemara right here, where the Gemara at least names different places where the Aseres HaShvatim was sent into Gaul. Zok Tumar, Am Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, V'kulam Lipsol. Rabbi Yochanan said that even though we're saying that the Aseres HaShvatim went into Galus, into these places, but at the same time, we have to appreciate that if we would ever find the Aseres HaShvatim, they would be treated as being pasul. And the reason is because you have to assume they didn't keep the halachas. And if they didn't keep the halachas, they may have married Chavi Krisos, had children from Chavi Krisos. And if they did that, the children are going to be mamzerim. So at the end of the day, Rabbi Yochanan said that even if you know the places where the Aseres HaShvatim are, it's actually going to be more complicated for them to come and to now become part of Klal Yisrael, because a non-Jew at the very least can be Megayer. But the problem is, being that there's a concern now that they're from the Aseres HaShvatim, so any place where the Aseres HaShvatim went to Golos, you can't even be Mekabel Geirim, because there's a chashash now that they're not Goyim, they're actually Yidden. The problem is they might be Yisraelim Mamzerim. It's a chashash, but the bottom line is Kulam Amsul. So Rabbi Yochanan said, at the end of the day, you won't be able to be Mekabel Geirim from the Kibbutz Kamei Shmuel. When this halacha was said to Shmuel, so Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Asi, Ovi Kechavim, Shekidesh Bizman Azeh, Choshishin Likidushin. Why Shema Aseres HaShvatim? Rabbi Yochanan added to that, but at the same time, Kulam Amsul. Don't think that we assume that their Ksherim, we're assuming that the possibly psulim, and as a result, you wouldn't be able to mekabel geirim. So when this halacha was said over to Shmuel, so Amalei, so Shmuel said that I don't understand why you would assume that these people that were living in the city with Aseres HaShvatim were taken into Golos would be considered Jews. What was this kasha? What do you mean? If you know that Aseres HaShvatim went into Golos, so you just track the lineage, there's a good chance that someone there is going to be a Yid. So he said like this, Bincha bomina Yisraelis kari bincha. If Jewish mother has a child from a non-Jewish father, the child is considered a Yid. But at the same time, if a non-Jewish mother has a child from a Jewish father, the child is going to be a non-Jew. So what was this kasha? So Shmuel's kasha was, it's even hard to explain the kasha because it's so obvious what the Gemara's response is going to be. But it's kasha was, so what are you telling me? That you know what Aseres HaShvatim went into Golos, and because you know what Aseres HaShvatim went into Golos, so you're telling me now, all of a sudden, you have to be chayish, then maybe there's Yidden. Why are you being chayish there's Yidden? If the mothers are not Jewish, they're not Jewish. And for the Gemara, that's true. If the mothers are not Jewish, they're not Jewish. Above the Ikabonos, what about if the mothers were Jewish, right? Aseres HaShvatim, they had boys and girls. So the boys, if they would marry non-Jewish women, and a chanami, the children would not be Jewish. But the girls, if they would marry even non-Jewish boys, then they would be Jewish. And certainly if the girls would marry Jewish boys, then certainly the kids would be Jewish. So how could Shmuel just deflect this whole Rav Asi by saying the kids are not Jewish? Why? Because if the mother's not a Jew. But what if the mother is a Jew? You have all the Jewish girls from the Aseres HaShvatim. Their children would be Yidden. From Ravina, in fact, Ravina said, in case we needed a McCarthy, this Shmamina ben bitcha haba mina oivet koychavim kari bincha. That if someone has an anical through a non-Jew, but it's through his daughter, meaning the mother of the child is a Jew, it's just that the father is an Ovi Kechavim, so Lach is Kari Bincha, it's considered a Jewish child. So what did Shmuel mean? So the Gemara says, you want to know what Shmuel meant? It's Gemiri, the Bin Sadahu Darit, Staru Yitztar. We have a Messiah that when the Aseres HaShvatim were taken into Golos, all the Bnei Yisrael, all the women, suddenly were not able to have children anymore. And because they weren't able to have children anymore, so it's for that reason, Zokt Shmuel, so Bal Karchach, if there's descendants from the Aseres HaShvatim, it's going to be from the men, it's not going to be from the women. If it's from the men and the women can't have children, obviously it's going to be from non-Jewish women. So non-Jewish women, the children anyway is not going to be Jewish. So this whole chash that maybe it's from the Aseres HaShvatim, Snet Shmuel is not a real chash. Ikidami, some say that Kamei the Shmuel, when they told us over the Shmuel, Amalei, so Shmuel said, you don't have to worry about the Aseres HaShvatim. And the reason is because we have a Messiah that they were all made into Ovdei Kechavim Gemurim Shenemar, and it's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says, Bashem Bagadu, Kivonim Zorin Yolodu, Atu Yoichlim Chaydesh Eschelkei. But either way, they were all turned into non-Jews. And if they were turned into non-Jews, so this whole idea that it was not something you have to worry about. Why? Because they were turned into non-Jews. So the bottom line is, it seems a machlokes amayiron how we would treat the Aseres HaShvatim bezman hazeh. This is a fascinating topic. Not for today. Zok Gemara Vayta. Yosef Rabbi Yosef Achayid Rav Kana. Yosef was sitting behind Rav Kana. Yosef Rav Kana came to Rav Yehuda, and Rav Kana was sitting in front of Rav Yehuda. Yosef came and said the following: Asinin Yisrael the Avdi Yom Tova ki Charve Tamrit. When Tamrit, the city of Tamrit, is going to be destroyed, the Yidden are going to make a Yom Tova the Rabbanon. They're going to make a Yontif. Why? Because Talmud was a place where there were mamzerim. And because there were mamzerim that were living there, they caused problems. So the fact that there were mamzerim, they caused an issue. So, says the Gemara, that the day that Talmud is going to be destroyed is going to be a Yom Tov of the Rabbanon. Afraid the Gemara, V'achar, if Talmud was destroyed, what do you mean the day it's going to be destroyed? It was destroyed. So the Gemara says, Hachi Talmud Havai. There was a city Talmud and there was a city Talmud. Talmud was destroyed. Talmud wasn't destroyed. And that's what Amiram meant. They said, oh, the day that Talmud is destroyed, it's going to be a Yontif. Rav Ashi says, Hainu Talmud, Hainu Talmud. Then it says Talmud and Talmud were the same city. So what does that mean? Why is it Talmud? Why is it Talmud? Achpulei Huda Machpul. So what they would do is they would double up. Charev Mehai Gisa, Ayse Mehai Gisa. If one side would have been destroyed, they would have settled on the other side. Vichar Mehai Gisa, Ayse Mehai Gisa. And if the other side, the city would have been destroyed, they would have settled. So Bekitzer, there was one city, part of the city was called Tarmud, the other part of the city was called Tamud. Part of that city had been destroyed, but part of it was not destroyed. And when, let's say, the northern part of the city was destroyed, so they settled in the south. When the eastern part was destroyed, they settled in the west. But at the end of the day, all these chevra from Tarmud still live there. So the Rabbanu was saying that the day that it's finally going to be destroyed, it's going to be a Yom Tov Rabbanu. We're going to make a Yontif. The reason we're going to make a Yontif is because there's Mamzerim, then these Mamzerim cause problems. Yosef Rav Hunuk made the Ula. Rav Hunuk, Mamnuna was one sitting in front of Ula. Because Havim Mishmaito and Ula, and Rav Hamnuna asked the Kasha to Ula. So the Gemara says, Amar, Ula commented about Rav Hamnuna. He asked him a good Kasha. He was an Oikaharim. So he said, Ma Gavra. He says, wow, you're such a Lamdan. You're so Gavaldic. And you could have been so much bigger, Ilab da Harpanya Masa. We're not for the fact that you came from Harpanya. Sadly, regretfully, you come from a Shvachishtat. And as a result, you never reached your potential. But what a Gavra you would have been were it not for the fact that you came from Harpanya. So what was wrong with Harpanya? So the people of Harpanya, Rashi says, well, Einam Yuchasim. There too, there was questionable Yichus. So he told them, if it were not for the fact that you came from Harpanya, you would have been worried. So the Gemara says, Ichsef. When he heard that, he was very embarrassed. Amalei, so he told him, tell me, Kesef Gulgalta Lehecha Yavis. You know, when you pay taxes, so to what locale do you pay taxes, right? Who do you pay your state income tax to, right? You pay it to this state, you pay it to this. I'm like, don't the full Nara. I pay it. He says, oh, you pay it to the full Nara and came from Nara. Then you're not from Harpanya. Meaning, you're a resident of the city that you pay taxes to. So if you pay taxes to Pum Nahara, you don't pay taxes to Harpanya, so then we're going to make you part of Pum Nahara. So he says, you're good, you could become a Gavra Rabba, you don't have to worry about the fact that you come from a shtot where people have lousy yichus, because at the end of the day, you're really not from Harpanya, you're really from Pum Nahara. So look at my Harpanya. Why was Harpanya called Harpanya? Amr Rabzeir said, Hansha Hakol Poinim Boy. Because this was a city, this was a shtetl that all the psulim used to go to. So if someone was a mamzer, someone had questionable yichus, she was a mamzeres, right? That's where they all used to go. All the psulim used to derezach over there in Harpanya, and it actually got its name as Har Shakol Poinu. But Maslisa Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Kol She'ein Makir Mishpachtoi V'Shiftoi Nifne L'Sham. That any person that didn't know what Mishpachi he was from, what Shevet he was from, right? He was a person, he poshit, didn't know his yichas. He had no idea from Vanat Eshtam. So that's where he ended up. Harpanya was a place where they had Shvachi yichas. Omer Rava said, V'ya Muka Mishoil. That Harpanya is deeper than Sha'oil. So what's Sha'ol? Sha'ol was one of the names of Gehenim. So how's it possible? Harpanya is worse than Gehenim? So Rashi says, the ilu liyard de Gehenim ikutakanta. He says, the people in Gehenim are going to have takana. Like the Gemara says, Shenemar. Miyad Sha'ol efteim, mimoves agolem. One day this gets, abba ilu psul didu leslu takanta. Abba the psulim, the people that live in Harpanya, they're not going to have a takana. Because someone that is in Gehenim, so at some point he'll get out of Gehenim. Abba someone that's a mamzer, he's leslu takanta. He has no hope. And as a result, in a way, Harpanya, being a mamzer anyways is worse than being in Gehenna. Zok de Gemara, psuli de Harpanya mishum psuli de Meshan. The Iker psulim of Harpanya, they were originally in Meshan, they had resettled in Harpanya. Psuli de Meshan. The Iker, the primary psulim in Meshan, psuli de Tarmud, they had come from Tarmud, of our Daf's fame. Psuli de Tarmud, where did the psulim of Tarmud come? Mishum avdei Shloima. They came from these non-Jewish slaves of Shloima that we saw in yesterday's Daf. Final Tarmud, this is what people mean when they say there was apparently some expression that people would use. Kaba rabba v'kaba zuta. So a kav is a measurement. So a large measurement, a small measurement, migander v'azol l'shoil. It rolled into shoil. Umbi shoil l'tarmud. From shoil it went to Tarmud. Umbi tarmud l'meshan. Umbi meshan l'arpanya. So these were all cities where they were mamzerim. But what's the punchline of what people used to say? They used to say that from Gehenim, when you roll down, when you travel south from Gehenim, you end up in Tarmud and in Meshan and in Harpanya. Why? So Zok Rashi, it's based on what the Gemara just said earlier. Because as bad as Gehenim is, but at the same time, Gehenim miat sho'el eftem, mimoves agolim. But someone that's a mamzer is ain't like takona. He has no hope. And because he has no hope, so therefore it's in a way actually worse off. And that was this expression, that if somebody would roll out, go down from Gehenim, where would he end up? He would end up in these cities where there were mamzerin. And on that note, Hadron Aloch, Chamesh Esrei Noshim, the first parak of Masechtas Yevamos, and Taka Gevaldik, we survived the first parak of Be'ezus Hashem, Lama Gein Vayter, and we're going to go from the first parak straight into the second parak, which is going to return very much to our regular program. Today's daf, from here until the end, is going to discuss primarily, we're going to start Eish Hazach Shaloi Hoya Bay Lamai. By tomorrow's daf, we're going to be learning from the most lamdish dafin in the parak, the sugi of Zika, very, very geshmak. We have Daf Chof coming up, which deals very much with the halachas of Chayvei Lavin and Chayvei Lavin Ve'esin. the sugya of Shnius La'arayas, and this is going to segue us into Arba Achin. So either way, moving along as it relates to the Gishmaka sugyas here in Masechtas Yevamos. So the topic of the first parak of the Masechta was really the first line of the Masechta. Chamesh Esrei Noshim, Poitrois Tzoroiseyem, V'tzorois Tzoroiseyem, Min HaChalitzo, Min HaYibum, Atzoy Fa'olam. And then the Mishnah listed the Chamesh Esrei Noshim. It listed the 15 Arayas. One of the Arayas mentioned was the Eishas Ach, Shaloi Hoya Baylam. So we know a little bit at this point what the Eishas Ach, Shaloi Hoya Baylam is. In the next few Dafin, we'll know a lot of it in terms of what Eishas Ach, Shaloi Hoya Baylam is. And really, our Mishnah begins with the question, Pasha, what's the textbook example of what an Eshazach Shaloi Hoya Ba'ilama is? Zok the Mishnah, Shnei Achim, there were two brothers, Reuben and Shimon, Umeisa Echad Mehem. And one of the brothers died, Reuben died. V'noilad Mehem Ach. And then a third brother, Levi, was born. So, Reuben dies, Eshes Reuben falls Levim L'Shimon. Now Levi was born. Now there's suddenly another brother in the picture who's technically a potential Yavam. The Achakach, after Levi was born, Yibeim Hasheni Eshes Achiv. Shimon did Yibum on Eshes Reuven. So again, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven died, leaves over a wife, no children. Shimon has a mitzvah to do Yibum. Before Shimon has an ability to do Yibum or to do Chalitza, Levi's born. After Levi's born, that's a critical piece, Shimon does Yibum on Eshes Reuven. Umeis, and then Shimon died, left over two wives. He left over Eshes Reuven that he had been Miyabe, and he also was married. So he left over his wife then, wasn't the Yavama. And now these two women fall the Yibum the Levi. The first woman that falls the Yibum the Levi is Eshes Reuven, who, by the way, had fallen to Yibum to Levi already. Levi was the one that was born when Eshes Reuven was a Yavama, before Shimon did Yibum, plus Shimon's wife that had never fallen to Yibum until now. So what's the halacha? Harishayna, the first wife, that's the Eshes Ach Shalei HaYibayilame, that's Eshes Reuven, Yoitza Mishom Eshes Ach Shalei HaYibayilame. She is not going to have any Yibum v'chalitza. What does it mean she's Yoitza? She's free to get married. There's no Zika, there's no Shemeres Yavam. Why? Because she's the Eshes Ach Shalei HaYibayilame. Vashniya, and the second wife, Mishum Tzarasa, she's the Tzara of the Eshes Ach Shalei HaYibayilame. Zok the Mishnah, Asa B'mayim. What would happen if Shimon, after Reuven died, instead of doing Yibum, he would have done Maimer. So what's Maimer? Maimer is where the Yavam, instead of doing Bia, which is what Yibum is, he's Mekadesh her as if she was a regular Pnuya. So he would give her Kesef or Shtar and say, Harei Mekudesh Asli. So Midei Reis, so we know it's nothing. We spoke about this in the introduction to the Masechta a few times since. Because Midei Reis is Yavam or Yavah Yaleh, it has to be Bia. However, the Rabbanan said that in the event that the Yavam does Maimer, at least on a rabbinical level, something should go into effect. So what would happen if Shimon, instead of doing Yibum, he did Maimer? And then Shimon dies, Umeis. So two women are falling the Yibum to Levi. The first woman that's falling to Yibum to Levi is Eshes Reuven, who's also a shtickle Eshes Shimon, because Shimon, although he didn't do Yibum, he did Maimer, which means she's the Yavama da Iraisa to Levi, mitzad Eshes Reuven, but Oichet a Yavama de Rabbanon to Levi, mitzad the Maimer of Shimon. Additionally, Shimon's wife also falls Liyibum. So here the Allah is Shnia Chaylatzis Vlemisya Bemis. Over here, the Shnia is not a Tzoris Eshazach Shloi Baylame that can just go free. However, Levi's going to be obligated to do Chalitza. And let's explain. He can't do Yibum because she's a Tzoris Eshazach Shloi Baylame. Why? Because she's falling Liyibum, that's obvious. But also the Eshazach Shloi Baylame is falling Liyibum. Being that Shimon did Maimer, so on some level, Eshaz Rumi is also Eshaz Shimon, which means there are two women that are falling Liyibum now. One Midrabanan, one Midrabanan, Midrabanan, she's an Eshes Ach Shalai Hoya Baylama. The one Midrabanan is a regular Yavama, but on a Rabbanan level, the regular Yavama is a Tzaras Eshes Ach Shalai Baylama. You can't do Yibum. But at the same time, you have to do Chalitza. Why? Again, Pashit. Because the Eshes Ach Shalai Baylama is only falling Liyibum Midrabanan. She's not falling Liyibum Midrabanan. Because Midrabanan, Shimon was never Miyabim her. So now that Shimon died, really, Shimon only has one wife, Midrabanan. If Midrabanan only has one wife, Midrabanan, so this wife can't be a tzaras anything. If there's only one wife, she's not a tzara by definition. So it's for that reason, it's impossible for her to be a tzara midei raisa, and therefore you can't just allow her to be yaitza. She has to have something. So what's the halacha? The halacha is no yibum because midi rabbanon, she's an eshesach, she's a tzaras eshesach shloi baylami. But at the same time, she needs chalitza because midi raisa, she's not a tzaras eshesach shloi hoye baylami. Either way, the Mishnah just gave us the example of what eshesach shloi baylami is, which in short is, right, what's the short version of eshesach shloi baylami? When Reuven died, Levi had not been born yet. And as a result, Eishes Reuven becomes an Eishes Ach Shlei Hoye Baylami. And really, really, if the Mishnah was going to give us the most simple definition of Eishes Ach Shlei Hoye Baylami, if we were learning this mamish for the first time, somebody would say, Ketzad Eishes Ach Shlei Hoye Baylami, that's what you would say. Reuven was married, he had no children, he died, and then after he died, Shimon was born. You wouldn't even be talking about Levi. You'd say Shimon was born. Ordinarily, it'd be a mitzvah of Yibum, but over here, there is no mitzvah of Yibum. Why? Because Eishes Reuven is an Eishes Ach Shlei Hoye Baylami. So why did the Mishnah get all fancy? Why is there Reuven and Shimon and Levi, and why are we talking about Maimer? The reason is Pashat. The reason is because this Mishnah is not just telling us what Eishes Ach Shlei Hoye Baylami is. It's really commenting on the first Mishnah of the Masechta. The first Mishnah of the Masechta didn't tell us the halach of Eishes Ach Shlei Hoye Baylami. It said that in Eishes Ach Shlei Hoye Baylami is Poitras Tzareisein, but Tzareis Tzareisein, bin Achalitz min Yibum at Tzayf Oilam. So we're talking about a case where an Eishes Ach Shlei Hoye Baylami would pater a tzara. The only time the Eishes Ach Shlei Hoye Baylami is going to pater the tzara is if there's an afila shniya. And that's why the Mishnah is talking about where there's not just Reuven and Shimon, but there's also a Levi, and then there was an afila shniya. So that's Pashup Shana in the Mishnah. Why the Mishnah didn't just give us a very, very basic example? Because the Ketzad of the Mishnah is really referring back to the first Mishnah. And if you're not sure, just look at the first Rashi in the parak. Ketzad Eishes Achiv Shlei Hoye Baylami. Zok Tehilge Rashi, Paiteres Tzarasa. Rashi understood the Mishnah's question was not what's an example of Eishes Ach Shlei Hoye Baylami, because if that was the question in the Mishnah would have given a much simpler example. It would have given a much more posh the case. The teretz is, it's muchach from the teretz of the Mishnah what the kasha of the Mishnah is. It's obvious that the question was, what's an example of an Eishes Ach Shlei Hoye Baylami that paters the tzara? Oh, you want to know that? Oh, that example involves already an afila shniya. If it involves an afila shniya, we have to welcome Levi into the Mishnah. And that's why the Mishnah is getting involved in such a case. Just one other thing that's worth speaking out right now is that the Mishnah was very, very precise. Right? And this is stam a good idea. This is something that we talked about before or after one of the shiurim. And that is, when you go through these cases, and we're going to start getting into the cases now, not stam. So when you go through the cases, a lot of different nuances. Ruba de ruba of the times, every single nuance in the case is bedafka. I mean, there's a reason the Mishnah said it the way it said it. Every now and again, Rashi or Tosfos or one of the Rishonim will say that this is lav dafka. But really, until proven otherwise, you assume that all the details and all the pratim that were mentioned in the Mishnah are mentioned for a reason. So, for example, the Mishnah said that the case of Eishes Ach Shlei Hoye Baylami, like Rashi says, that's Poiteres Tzarasa, is where there were two brothers, one of them died, then the third brother was born, and then the second brother did Yibum, right? So it was Reuven and Shimon. Reuven died with no children. Levi was born. After Levi was born, then Shimon wed and did Yibum. What would be if it was Reuven and Shimon, Reuven died, Shimon did Yibum, and then Levi was born. And then Shimon died and had another wife. It sounds like from the Mishnah, that would not necessarily be the same halacha as it is in our Mishnah. And the Emes says, we know this already from learning the first parak. It's Machlokes Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, what the halacha of that case would be, and whether or not Eishes Reuven, who was already Eishes Shimon at the time that Levi was born, would be treated like an Eishes Ach Shlei Hoye Baylami. This was very much the topic of the intense Rashi and Daf Tes Amud Beis. But the Gemara mentioned Reb Shimon's Eishes Ach Shlei Hoye Baylami. It's the next Mishnah we're going to learn. It's going to be in tomorrow's Daf on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. But just the diktuk that what happened was Levi was born before Shimon did Yibum. That's why there's no Reb Shimon mentioned in the Mishnah. In the next Mishnah, the Mishnah is going to discuss what happens if it didn't happen in that order, but Shimon did Yibum before Levi was born, and there the Gemara is already going to get involved in the sheet of Reb Shimon in the Sugya of Eishes Ach Shlei Baylami, Zok de Gemara. So again, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said that Ketzad Eishes Ach Shlei Baylami, Rashi says that's Peiteres Sarasa. So the case is there were two brothers, one of them died, left over no children. And then a third brother, Levi, was born. Then Shimon did Yibum. Shimon died, left over no children, and left over Eishes Reuven, who he had been Miyabe, and another wife. So these two women now fall to Yibam. So the Mishnah said, Harishayna, the first wife, Levi doesn't do Yibam because she's the Eishes Ach Shlei Hoye Baylami. She was Eishes Reuven, and Levi wasn't alive at the time that Reuven died. The Shnia, the second one, he's also not going to do Yibam or Chalitzan because she's the Tzara, and that's the case of Eishes Ach Shlei Hoye Baylami, the Pat is the Tzara. But here's the point. The Rishayna, is the Eish HaSach Shloheir Ba'ilamai. The Shniya is the Tzaris Eish HaSach Shloheir Ba'ilamai. Amr Rav Nachman, Nachman said, Man the Tani Rishon Alei Mishdabash. Whoever has the Girsa in the Mishnah, the way we have it right now, that the Rishon is the Eish HaSach Shloheir Ba'ilamai, and the Shniya is the Tzaris Eish HaSach Shloheir Ba'ilamai, Alei Mishdabash, he's not making a mistake. He's right. Abu Man the Tani Shniya Alei Mishdabash. And the one that had it fakared, apparently there was another Girsa that Rav Nachman was aware of, where the Mishnah refers to the Shniya as being the Eish HaSach Shloheir Ba'ilamai, and the Rishon is the Tzar of the Eish HaSach Shloheir Ba'ilamai. And Rav Nachman said, and Machtoichnish kind toys. He's also okay, and he explained. The one that says that the Rishon is the Eish HaSach Shloheir Ba'ilamai makes sense. Why my Rishon? Rishon Lenefila, right? Who would you think is the Rishon? The Eish HaSach Shloheir Ba'ilamai. Why? Because she was Eish HaSruvein. She was the one that fell a Yibam already back in the day. Now she's falling for the second time. This Tsar is falling now for the first time. She's the Rishayna Linafila. She fell once before, and as a result, she's considered the Rishayna. Umandatani Shniya Lemishtabish. The one that said Shniya Lemishtabish also makes sense. Why? Because my Shniya, Shniya Linasuin. The reason the Eishasach Shloheir Ba'ilamai would be considered the Shniya is because she's the second one that Shimon married. The assumption for a moment is that Shimon was married when he was Miyabim Eish HaSruvein. So the second woman that he married was the Eish HaSach Shloheir Ba'ilamai. That's why the Mishnah maybe would refer to as the Shir. Abba Zakti Gemar, Mechatesi, Milo Yaskirin, the Yavam, the Acha Kachines. How do you know Shimon married the Eish HaSach Shloheir Ba'ilamai? Second, maybe first he married the Eish HaSach Shloheir Ba'ilamai, then he married the Tzara, then he died, right? That's not a detail that you would think matters either this way or that way. So why would you ever refer to the Eish HaSach Shloheir Ba'ilamai as the Shniya? Because you're making an assumption that is just a frivolous assumption. There's no reason to assume it. L'chayr has no impact on the halacha. So why would you assume that the Eish HaSach Shloheir Ba'ilamai was the second? Where says he right? Elamai Shniya? No. What Rav Nachman meant to say was, is that the rationale to refer to the Eish HaSach Shloheir Ba'ilamai as the Shniya is because she's the Shniya bin Asuin. She's getting married now for the second time. So she was the first one to fall Yibam, the Eish HaSach Shloheir Ba'ilamai, because she was Eishes Ruvein, but she's also getting married now to Tzveitimol. In our Mishnah, in our case, she was married to Ruvein, then she got married to Shimon, and now she fell Yibam to Tzveitimol. But the point is that being that she had been married now for a second time, so that's why she would be called the Shniya. So either way, if you want to refer to Eish HaSach Shloheir Ba'ilamai as the Rishayna, makes a lot of sense. Loi Mishtabish. And if you want to refer to it as the Shniya, Oichet Loi Mishtabish. Zok Tigmar. Amr Rav Yudah Marav. Eish HaSach Shloheir Ba'ilamai Heichiksiv. What is the Makar in the Torah to Eish HaSach Shloheir Ba'ilamai? Amr Rav Yudah Marav. Who descend the name of Rav? Amakrat's based on a pasuk. Which pasuk? The introductory pasuk to Yibum. It says Ki Yeshfu Achim Yachtov. And we learn from the word Yachtov Shahoyselam Yeshiva Achas Ba'ilam. It's referring to two brothers that live together at the same time. Prat Eish HaSach Shloheir Ba'ilamai, as opposed to Eish HaSach Shloheir Ba'ilamai, they weren't alive together. They didn't have Yeshiva Achas Ba'ilam because by the time that Levi was born, right in our Mishnah, it's Reuven and Levi. So by the time Levi was born, Reuven wasn't alive anymore. Zokti Gemara. Okay. Yachtov. It says Yachtov. What does that mean? Miyuchadim menachla. They have to be miyuchadim lenachla. So let's see Rashi inside, because it's going to be the topic of the raid. Rashi says, Haru'uyin leirish zeze. There has to be two brothers that are right to yarshin each other. Two brothers that are ru'uyin leirish zeze. What does that mean? Prat la'achiv min ha'en. As opposed to brothers that are brothers because they share a common mother. So if the brothers share a common father, then they're going to be considered brothers l'inyan yibum. But if they only share a common mother, they're not going to be. And how did the Torah tell us that? Because the Torah said yachtov, which means miyuchadim benachla. It means they yarshin each other. And when it comes to dina yerusha, paternal relatives are considered relatives, but maternal relatives are not considered relatives. So by the fact that it says Yachtov, it means Yerusha, and this is the makar to the most basic halacha in Yibum. And that is when it says Ki Yeshva Achim Yachtov, what does it mean? It means that they're brothers mitzad ha'av, not necessarily mitzad ha'em. Now, if they're brothers mitzad ha'em, tovay aleim bracha. But it's neither here nor there. It's completely irrelevant. What matters is whether they're Achim and ha'av, and how do you know that? Because it says in the Torah, Miyuchadim benachla. Zok to Gemara. Rabbi said, Achim and ha'av, Yalef, the fact that when it says in Torah, Ki Yeshva Achim, it means Achim and ha'av, we learn from somewhere else. Not from Yachtov means that they have to be royal leirish zeze. But rather we know from somewhere else, it's learned that Achva Achma Bnei Yaakov. It's learned that from Xerah Shava, from the Bnei Yaakov. The Pasuk says regarding the Bnei Yaakov, Ayoim Shneim Osim. Shneim Osir Avodecha Achim Anachnu. Now we know the Bnei Yaakov, they were brothers because they shared the same father, Yaakov Avinu. But they didn't have all the same mother, so Malah Halam Minoav, just like the brothers were Achim Minoav, Lei Minoav, not from the mother, Afkan Minoav, Lei Minoav, so too when it says Achim Ayibun, it means Av, Lei Minoav, Fedim Av, Leiluf, Achim Arise. Why don't we learn the Gzeir Shavah, Achim Achim to Arias. Where does it say Achim by Arias? So it's by the Erv of Eshes Ach. Ervas Eshes Achicha Loi Segala. And over there, even an Eshes Ach Me'imoi is considered an Eshes Ach. It doesn't have to be Dafka Min Ha'av. In Arias, it doesn't matter if it's Min Ha'av or Min Ha'im. But Yerusha matters. So how do you know to learn Yibum from Achim Yaakov Avinu? Maybe learn it from Arias. So the Gemara says, Donim Achim Me'achim Ve'ein Donim Achim Me'ochicha. Achim and Achim, that's the same word that you can learn Xer Shava. But to learn Achim, ki yesh v'achim yachtov, from Ervas, Eshes, Ochicha, it's not the same word. It's the same Shirish, it means the same thing, but it's not the same word. That's not Xer Shava. Faith, my nafkamino. A ton of Rabbi Shmuel, everyone knows that in Rabbi Shmuel's yeshiva, they taught that it says v'shava koin, and somewhere else it says uvaha koin. Zu yeshiva zu ibiya. And because the words mean the same thing, so in Rabbi Shmuel's yeshiva, they used to darshan Xer Shava from v'shava koin to uvaha koin. So you see, you can darshan Xer Shava even in the case of v'shav to uba. Why? Because at the end of the day, the words mean the same thing. So Kalva Chaimer Achim and Achicha. So the Gemara says true. Avad. I don't mean to say you can't learn Gzeirah Shava ever between the word Achim and the word Achicha. What I mean is Hani Mili Hecha Deleka Midi Dedam Milai. Meaning, if you have a choice, I can learn the Gzeirah Shava to here. I can learn the Gzeirah Shava to there. So then you're supposed to pick the thing that's more comparable. If, however, there aren't two options, there's only one option, and that one option is not a perfect hit, that doesn't bother me. Achim and Achich is okay. Even V'shavakayin V'hakayin is good. So again, when is it true that you could darshan V'shavakayin V'hakayin? And when is it true you would be able to darshan Achim and Achich? That's if there's nothing that's more similar. Aval Heicha De'ikka Midi De'dami Lei. But if there's something more similar, more comparable to darshan, as far as Xer Shava goes, Midi Lei Alfinon, it's better to learn it from the thing that's more comparable. Freik the Gemara How do you know to learn it from the Bnei Yaakov? It's true, the Bnei Yaakov were Achim Mina'ah, but maybe learn it Achva Achver from Loit. The Pasuk says that Loit was referring to Avram, and he said, Ki Anoshim Achim Anachno. They weren't brothers. Avram Avinu was Loit's uncle. And you see that Afal Pikein, he referred to him as Anoshim Achim. So you see that Achim doesn't necessarily mean brothers. So maybe there's a mitzvah Yibum even by an uncle. So the Gemara says, Mestav Bnei Yaakov Havalei Lemelef. It makes sense to learn from Bnei Yaakov Mishum de Mifne. Because the word Achim by the Bnei Yaakov is Mufne. Why? Because Midah Havalei Lemichtav Shneim Aser Avodecha Bnei Avinu. Really, what they could have said was, is Vayoyimru Shneim Aser Avodecha Achim Anachnu. Bnei Ish Echad. Right, we have the same father and we're brothers. The word Achim is extra. All they had to say was is that they have the same father. It wasn't necessary to say that they're brothers. Right? If they have the same father, we know they're brothers. Shema mino lafnu, it's an extra word to teach me Gzeir Shava. What Gzeir Shava? To teach me Halacha in Yevamis. So in other words, we have two drushes really. How we know that when it says in the Torah, Yeshbu Achim Yachav, it means Achim and Oav, it doesn't mean Achim and Oav. The first drasha that we had was Rav Yehuda Marav, who learned it from the word Yachav. Yeshbu Achim Yachav. What does Achim Yachav mean? Achim that yarshin each other. That's what Rashi says. Haru'uyin Leirej Ze'ezeh. These are brothers that yarshin each other. Rabbi said it's learned to Akzer Shava from Achim Achim Bnei Yaakov. Zok to Gemara, that even though it's a machloikis amirah, really, what does it sound like? Two different pshatim. This is a pshat, and that's a pshat. Each pshat sounds like it has merit on its own. But the Gemara says that really, lefio emes, it's yagid olav reyoy. The two pshatim complement each other. And really, we need both pshatim. Because each pshat in and of itself is imperfect. But once you have the two pshatim together, then it's gewaltig. Then it's a makar. The Gemara explains. V'itzruch lemichtav achim, v'itzruch lemichtav yachtav. We need achim, which was Rabbi's drasha, and we need yachtav, which was Rabbi Yudam and Rav's drasha. How so? Because Rachman achim, because had it only said achim, meaning had we only had Rabbi's drasha, I mean, I would have thought leilof achva achva miloy. I would have said that had you not learned the gzeir shava achim achim from Yaakov, maybe learned the gzeir shava achva achim from loy. The chitim loy mifti. The Gemara already asked that question. The Gemara answered it. What was the Gemara's teres? Achim by bnei Yaakov is mufna, but by loy it's not mufna. Where it says no, la ayyaf nuye mifni. By loy it's also mufna, because mida have loy the michtav reyim v'ksiv achim. It was a funny word that Loit used. Loit said, we're brothers. We're not brothers. We're Reyim. We're friends. We're Mishpucha. But we're not brothers. The word Achim doesn't seem like it's the right word. Zok Tigmar, you know why he probably said the word Achim? Shema min alafnuye. Probably said should be mufno. So the emes is that it looks like, that just like the word by the Bnei Yaakov is extra, maybe to teach me Allah in Yabamas, maybe the word by Loit is also extra. That's what we have, the word Yuchad ben Achlo. We're talking about brothers, they yarshin each other. And had it said Yachtav, I mean, I would have thought, the Miyachti ba'abu be'imo. I would have thought that maybe it has to be brothers that have the same father and the same mother. Right? That's maybe what you would think Yachtav is. Tzricha. Therefore, the Torah also had to say Achim, the Gzeir Shava by the Bnei Yaakov, because there they had the same father, they didn't have the same mother. Why would you think that Yibum Achim means that they have the same father and the same mother? Like Mechatesi, and the Gemara adds a Knech. Yibum Benachla Tala Rachmana. You find that Yibum, the Torah, was Tala Nachla. So where do you see that? So Rashi says, it's based on a Gemara that we're going to learn in a few days, where the Gemara says that when the Yavam used to be Miyabim, the Eishes Hameis, he used to Yarish and everything. So Yerusha Nachla is an important part, it's an integral component to the laws of Yibam. So being that Yibam is Benachat Tal Rachmanav, and Nachla Menav Leim Menayim, and Nachla doesn't care about maternal yichas. All it cares about is minav. So why would you ever have a havimina that you have to be achim mina avim mina? Where's that havimina coming from? Tomorrow says, Itzrich, I'll tell you why. Because I would have thought, hail the chiddushu, being that the whole concept of yibum is a chiddush, right? You think it's the biggest chiddush in the world. The kamishtri erva gabe, because it's matter and erva. So maybe you would think that because of the chiddush, the only time there's yibum is if they have the same father and the same mother. Tzrichazok to Gemara, that's why at the end of the day, what's the makarta eshesach shlohei by lomoi? Ki esh v'achim yachdav, yeshiva achas v'oilom. Agav urchi, this same pasuk, these same words, are also the makar to the fact that when we talk about brothers in Yibum, what we mean is achim in o'av, as opposed to achim in o'aim, and it doesn't even matter if they're not achim in o'av u'min o'aim. The only thing that matters is they're achim in o'av, and l'maskonas ha'gemara, how do we know that? We know it from a combination of two drashas. Number one, because that's ki yesh v'achim yachtov ha'miyuchadim b'nachla, that's number one. And number two, it's based on Gzeir Shavo from the B'nei Yaakov. So just a little bit of raid as it relates to the Gemara that we just learned, and really to, you know, some of the Gemaras that we learned a little bit recently. And this is some classic raid, some not such famous raid. Ein beis medrash b'lo chiddush, but again, just yesoidis in terms of learning Yevamos, Abyssal v'melantis in the Kaisle Beis HaMedrash. And that is the Mordechai in the fourth parak of Masechtas Yevamos, in parak HaCholitz, he brings that many of the Ge'onim said a gevaldige chiddush. The Ge'onim said that what happens if you have two brothers? One of them dies, he leaves over no children. However, the brother that died was a mummer. So for example, he was a mashumid. He left the Yiddish way completely. Maybe he converted out of being a Yid. Maybe he's a Mechal Shabbos Beferhesya. Maybe he's a Mummer L'chol HaTayrakula. But he's a Mummer. He's someone that Halacha deems not to be treated like a Yid. If he would die and leave over no children, the Ge'onim, as quoted by the Mardechai, said, the brother that's alive, Shimon, would not have a mitzvah to do Yibam. The same would be true in the event that Reuven was an upgit in Yid, and he died, left over no children, but he left over a Yavama. Reuven has a brother, but this brother is a Meshumet. He's a Mummer. Say the Ge'onim, that Eishnes Reuven would not fall a Yibum. What does that mean? She doesn't need Chalitza if she wants to get married. There's no Loisase in the Torah of Loisia Eishes HaMeis HaChutza L'Irza. The question is why? And the Mardechai discusses it. And Toich Dvarav, the Mardechai quotes from Rishonim, that the Rishonim said that the Hezber in this Shita that permeated the Ge'onim is because we find the different areas in Halacha that if it says in the Torah there's a requirement of achicha, of an ach, it means that it's a person that keeps Torah mitzvah. So for example, it says in the Torah that you're not allowed to charge a yid ribbis. And when it says it, there's an issa ribbis, it says, don't take ribbis me achicha. Don't take ribbis from your brother. And the Rishonim say, it's a Gemara, that if someone's a mummer, if someone's a meshumet, there's no issa to take ribbis. Why? Because he's not achicha. Because a yid is considered a chicha, he's considered a brother when he behaves like a brother. But if he doesn't behave like a brother, he loses his schus of being considered a brother. So when it says in the Torah, don't take ribbis from your brother, it means you're behaving like a brother. But if you're a meshumid, even though your mother's Jewish and your father's Jewish, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, you'll love a chicha, and as a result, you're not going to have a din of a yid. So zok the Mordechai. You want to know pshan in this shita saga oinim? That's the pshan. What's the makar to the mitzvah of Yibum? It says, ki yeshvu achim yachtav. Brothers, once we find that in halacha, someone that's a mummer is not considered a chicha, he's not considered a brother, so based on that, says the Mardechai, a mummer will be mufka from Yibum. And it doesn't matter which side of the equation the mummer's on. Because ki yeshvu achim is describing Reuven and Shimon. It's describing the brother that died, and it's describing the Yavam, the brother that has a mitzvah to do Yibum. But if either one of them is going to be a mummer, so now you're not going to have the mitzvah of Yibum. Why? Because he's not mechlal ochicho, kimavur in hilchis ribis, and kimavur b'shar mekoymes in halach. As I state the Mardechai in Perek HaCholitz. The emes is, if you think about this Mardechai for 1 second, this might be the shverest Mardechai in history. It's a pella, it has no pshat. It's impossible to even read. Why? What's the pella? When it says in the Torah you shouldn't charge ribbis from your brother, what does the Torah mean? Torah means from your brother as opposed to your first cousin, that's okay? No, what it means is don't take ribbis from a yid. Why? Because we're all brothers. We're mamish brothers? No, not literally, figuratively. In fact, the Rambam says in the end of Hilchas Matnas Aniyim that why do you find that the Torah refers to Yidden as being brothers, quote unquote? The reason, says the Rambam, is because the Eibush said, Bonim Atam L'Hashem Elokeichem. What's the definition of a brother? Definition of a brother is you share a common parent. So if we're all Bonim L'Hashem, so that means we all have the same parent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So by definition, just the textbook legal definition of what a brother is, that would make us all brothers. Because Bonim Atam L'Hashem Elokeichem, we have the same tata, and if we have the same tata, then by definition it makes us brothers. As they say in Rambam and Hilchos Matnas Aniyim. So it's in that vein that the Torah says, "Don't take ribbis and from a yid because he's a chicha." But the Torah doesn't mean a biological brother. The Torah means he's your brother. Why? Because banim atam l'Hashem alekechem. Because he's a yid. Al zen nemar, that if he doesn't behave like a yid, in halach, he's not treated like a yid. Now, that misses has to do with the machloikis, Ramein Rabbi Yehuda, ben kach ruyim banim, the chuvas harajba, the ramon hilch saveilus, the enkam akonim. But the point is that the reason there's an idea of someone that's a mummer and a meshumen not being a chicha, because a chicha doesn't mean biological brother. It means you're a yid, you're a member of the tribe. Well, guess what? You can lose that schus if you don't behave properly. And that's what Chazal meant when they said that a person is not michal chicha. Oh, but when it says in Yevamos, ki yeshvu achim yachtov, what does it mean, achim? Two Jews? No, achim means your biological brother. So if it means biological brother, what's gemeron that he's a meshumet? What's gemeron that he's a chal shabbos befarhesia? The word ach, it's the same word, it's spelled the same, it's pronounced the same, the mikra and the mesoiris are the same, but it's not the same word. Avad, it means something completely different. Achicha in halacha means another yid. Al zen nemar, if you're not michal achicha, you can dare. Oh, but when it comes to yibum ki yesh v'achem yachtav means your biological brothers. Like the Gemara says, it means you have the same father. That's what it means. So if it means your biological fathers, t'mechayra, vos menk damar, yishtelin tzu achicha in hilchas ribis, to achicha in hilchas yibum. You know who asks this kash? Everybody. Aber bereich from the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef here in Evin Ezer, it's in Simen Kuf Nun Zayin. Listen to some of the sprach of the Beis Yosef. V'yesh l'tmaya al misha ola al daitai heter zeh. V'al mar Yehudoi goyim. Shenichta b'shmoy. Mishum de gemiri. And he says, I think the reason this mistake happened is because we have a tradition, the Ma'arei Nayim Hava. That Mar Yehudoi, who's the original goyim that this was attributed to, he was a Ma'arei Nayim. It was difficult for him to see. Ulefamim koisvin talmida b'shmoy. And sometimes his talmidim would write over Torah in his name. Mashloi olal daitai. And they would write things that he never had a havamino to say. Ach. So says the Beis Yosef, even though it's brought down in the name of Mar Yehudoi Goyin, and Imam Ben Munu Shleim, he never said it. But this is one of those things that were written by one of the Talmidim. See, so I'm not even asking Mar Yehudoi Goyin, because it's posh with me, he never said this. Ach, al Talmidav HaKoisvin Ken Yesh L'tmaya. Or he said, oh, but the Talmid couldn't be Azam, or it's not possible. The Talmid must have also had a little shaychis to learning. And not just that, Val Bal Ho'itur Shehetik Devrayim. He said the Bal Ho'itur, Echel Min Arishonim, he quoted it, Lomalei Ratfam. That's his Lashon. Why wasn't he right if that? Imam should have been right. They should have chased them out of his medrash. See, Imam is tiny shtusim. It doesn't make any sense. How is it possible? The David Poshetu, She'en Ledvarim Elu Shoyrish Va'anaf V'loy Shum Tzad Smach Klal. Azoy Shteit the Beis Yosef. Uncharacteristic for the Beis Yosef. Very, very sharp. So the Beis Yosef says Poshet has no pshat, and the reason it has no pshat is when Mamish for being medama, two things that have no shaykhs to each other. We're taking Chazal's understanding of the word Achicha when it's referring to another year versus Chazal's understanding to the word Achicha when we're talking about Kiyesh V'achem Yachta. Stating that, it's Yodua, that the Avnei Meluim, right here in Simen Kuf Nun Zayin, the Baal Tzoy Sachoshin said a Teretz Nifla to say Pshat in the Mordechai. And that is, that what's the Makar that Achim has to be Achim in Ha'av? We just learned the Gemara. The Gemara really brought two Makaris. One Makar is Kiyesh V'achim Yachta. What does Yachta mean? It means Miyuchadim B'Nachlo. And additionally, the Gemara brought Exer Shabbat Achim. It's learned out from the Bnei Yaakov. But the Makar, or at least one of the two Makaris that the Gemara brought to the Halacha, that Yibum is only by Achim in Ha'av, is from the fact that it says Kiyesh V'achim Yachtov, and Achim Yachtov means Miyuchadim B'Nachlo. So what does it mean, Miyuchadim B'Nachlo? So it says the Avni Melun. You want to know what Miyuchadim B'Nachlo means? What it means is, quote, it's referring to two brothers that are Ru'uyin Leiresh Ze'ezeh, that's number one, and number two, She'yorshin Nachla Achas. That's the way the Avni Melun quotes Rashi. She'yorshin Nachla Achas, Miyorshin Ze'ezeh. So, you know what the definition of Achim is? Achim and Av. Right, of course. Why Achim and Av? Because they have to be brothers in Yerusha. What does it mean they have to be brothers in Yerusha? Number one, they both Yarshin their father. The father dies, the sons are getting Yarshin. And number two, they're Yarshin Zezet, they Yarshin each other. So Zokta Avnim Eluim, the halacha is that if a man dies and he leaves over a son, and the son is a Meshumid, he's a Mumel Kala Torah Kula, the halacha is that the son does not Yarshin his father. It's halacha. He doesn't Yarshin his father. He's Mufka from the halacha of Nachlois. So Zokta Avnim, it's Poshit, that's what the Goyim meant. What they meant was, is that being that you find as a concept, that a Mumer can lose his status as a Yid, and one of the places you find that lemaisa is in Hilchis Nachlois, and the definition of an ach in Yibum is based on Hilchis Nachlois. Because kiyesh v'achim yachta v'achim and av, why? Because the ruin leirish, sheyorshin nachla achas, v'yorshin zeh. So being that it's based on Dina Yerusha, that's the whole makar, that's the whole origin to this concept. So if that's the case, if you would have a man that would die, or that would leave over a child that's a mumer, being that he wouldn't yarshin his father, so it comes out that him and his brother are not brothers in Yibum. He said that's pshat in the Goyim. The Goyim held that if Reuben and Shimon are achim, and one of them is a mumer, it doesn't matter which one. The halacha is that there won't be Yibum. Why? Because even though they're brothers, but at the same time they're brothers that aren't subject to Dine Yerusha together. And because they're not subject to Dine Yerusha together, they're as if they would have been Achim and Oem. Because what's the Makar that Achim and Oem are not considered Achim? It's based on the fact that it says Kiyesh V'Achim Yachtov. And Kiyesh V'Achim Yachtov means that it has to be Miuchad Menachlo. And what's Miuchad Menachlo? She Yorshin Nachla Achas V'Yorshin Zeh. So if that's the case, if you would have now two brothers that are not able to Yarshin together, so therefore they're not any better than Achim and Oem. So Zokta Avnim Elom, being that a Mumah doesn't Yarshin, so it comes out that even if he's Achim and Av together with his brother, but he's not really Achim and Av, and if he's not really Achim and Av, it's for that reason that he's not going to be able to do Yibum. And that's the pshat in the Goyim when they said that, oh, because he's a mummer, he doesn't have a din of a yid. They didn't mean because it says Achim. They meant because Achim by Yibum is totally a Nachvo, and Azaz Sol Bruda doesn't have a din Nachvo, and because he doesn't have a din Nachvo, it's for that reason he's going to be Mufka. Ad kan devreim ha-mefursamim shala avni malon. Oh, but the emes is, it's Yodua that Chassam Sofer and others were matmi on this Avni Melun. The Chassam Sofer is in Shailos HaTshuva Chassam Sofer. It's in Evin Ezer Beis. It's Simen Ayin Dalet. He says it's a beautiful shtickle Torah from the Avni Melun. There's one problem. The Avni Melun didn't have the same Rashi apparently that we had. We read the Rashi three times on purpose when we went through the Gemara. What did the Gemara say? That what's the definition of Miyuchadim Benachla Haru'uyin Leiresh Ze'ezeh? Miuchad benachla means they're able to yarshin each other. When the Avni Meluim quoted Rashi, this is the way he quoted it. He said, what does it mean, miuchad benachla? She yarshin nachla achas, fi yarshin zezeh. They yarshin one nachla, and they yarshin each other. Now, the way the Avni Meluim has Rashi's girsa, it's very good. It's a very nice Torah. It's because they have to be yarish nachla achas. A ben that's a mumer doesn't yarshin his father. As a result, they're not Yerush Nachla Achas, these two brothers. So they're not any better than Achim and Oem. And that's Pshad and the Goyim that said that if there's a Mumer, there's not going to be any Dine Yibum. The problem is, it's not what Rashi says. What Rashi says is, Miuchad Menachla means, Haru'uyin Leirej Ze'ezeh. Leirej Ze'ezeh, if you have two brothers and one of them is a Mumer, Talach is the Mumer, in theory, would be able to Yarshin his brother. We have no Makar anywhere that he can't. And if we have no Makar anywhere that he can't, so Mehecha Teisa he can't. So we have to assume he could. And if he could, so then if you have two brothers where one of them is a Mumer, even though it's true they wouldn't be able to Yarshin their father together, or be Yarshin Ze'ezeh Mehecha Teisa not. And if that's the case, is Lechayra, is Arab to Avni Melum's Teretz. So the Chassam Sofer says, B'mechilas Kvay Teirasa Shal Avni Melum, he had a Gersa in a Rashi that I've never seen such a Gersa. None of the reason. No one brings such a Gersa in Rashi. So if no one brings such a Gersa in Rashi, it's a Pella where the Avni Melum even got this Gersa from. And the problem is, the whole Shtikal Torah of the Avni Melum is based on a Gersa that we don't have. So if it's based on a Gersa we don't have, Lechayra it's Arab to Teretz. But the emes is that if you look on the bottom of the Avni Meluim from Reb Jimmy Trofsky, so he brings that the emes is that even if we'll assume that the Avni Meluim maybe didn't have the Gersa that he quoted, but at the same time there's a pshat in this Avni Meluim, and the emes is the Avni Meluim is l'shitasai to what he wrote in Ktzoy Sachoshin and Simen Reish Nun Gimel, because the truth is that there's a big discussion in the Achroinim exactly how two brothers yarshin each other. So there's a whole Seder of Nachlas, right? A man dies, his children Yarshin, the Meloi Ben, Bas, father, mother, right? There's a whole Seder of how Yerusha happens. At some point, brothers could Yarshin. But there's a Shaila how it works. Does it work direct? A brother actually has a schus to yarshin his brother. Sada andera uberoishem because achoshin and reishin and gimel and Reb Kiveger and Chuvas kuflam and beis. I'd say it's not the way it works, but rather it works with what's known as mishmush. What happens is the father yarshins bekever, and then the son yarshins from his father. So it ends up in the same. It's just semantics, right? Just the lawyers have to figure out how to paper this. Oh, but lemaisa. You want to know how it works? It doesn't work that Reuven and Shimon are yarshining each other directly. Reuven dies, Yaakov is going to yarshin Reuven, and then Shimon is going to yarshin, but Yaakov's not alive. There's a concept, you can be Yerush Bekever, it's what's known as the idea of Mishmosh. But the bottom line is, that's what's going to happen. What's going to happen is, it's the Yerush is going to have the idea of Mishmosh. It's Zok, Reb Jemitrovsky, that it's the Avni Melum L'Shitavzai, Avni Melum who said in Tzoyz, in Simen Reish Nun Gimel, that had his Yerushas Ha'achim work, it works al yidei mishmosh. The way the Yerusha works is it works through the brothers, it works through the father. So if it works through the father, then when Rashi says they have to be Ruyin Leirej Zeh, then by definition it means they have to be Ruyin to Yarshin their father. Because if they can Yarshin their father, if the relationship, the yachas between the son and the father is upkahak, so that means there's no way for them to yashin each other either. And if there's no way for them to yashin each other, so there's a chsar and kiyeshvu achim yachtov, then nam yuchadim benachlo. If they're nam yuchadim benachlo, then no better than achim in o'aim. And just like achim in o'aim are excluded from the halachas of Yibum, so it's in that same vein, they would be excluded from the halachas of Yibum as well. This is the teretz from the Avni Meluim to explain the Shita Sagoinim. But the bottom line is you see the Beis Yosef was matmiya on the Shita Sagoinim. Beis Yosef really, really didn't like the Shita. I mean, the Lashonis that he uses, right? The Dover Poshet, who she'in ledvarim, elu shoyrish v'anaf, v'loy shum tzad smach. There's absolutely no tzad in the world to be soymich on this Shita Sagoinim. And the Besois of Lashitasai, when he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, and in his Mechaber and Simon Kufno and Zion, he does not bring the Shita Sagoinim. Fakert, he paskins, that doesn't matter if the brother that died is a mummer, or if the brother that's alive is a mummer. And even the Ramah, goes together with the Mechaber, and he says that a mummer is subject to the laws of Yibum, just like any brother is subject. He has one kula, that in the event that the Yevama got married already, and then afterwards she found out that there was a brother, and the brother happened to have been a mummer, so there the Ramah says, b'dievin mamish, you could be soymich on this Shitas HaGa'onim. So it's a fascinating thing, because this is the Shitas HaGa'onim, right? We talk about Yeridus HaDairus, Ga'onim HaKamat like Amirah, and this is a Shitas HaGa'onim, and many, many Ga'onim said this, Abul Maisa, Ein L'dayin El Amasha Ein Avrayas, and Achrayim really didn't understand the Shitas HaGa'onim, and you see the Beis Yosef thought it was a toys, thought it was a mistake. And if it's a mistake, the Ga'onim didn't say it. If they said it, that's one thing. But if it's a mistake, they didn't say it. And Lamaisa, all the Paiskim said not that way. We're not going to talk about this now. It got late early. But the emes is that there are many fascinating tshuvas that were written over the years where this was something that played out. Because the emes is, you can have a woman that falls liyibum, if there's a brother that is not going to be miyabim her, obviously, and also doesn't want to do chalitza for whatever reason, this woman can end up in aguna. It can end up being a very, very big problem. And the truth is, in general, if you look at tshuvas from the Gedolei Achroinim, you know, the Yehuda, the Chassam Sofer, all the Gedolei Achroinim, in their tshuvas in Evin Ezer, there was a lot of Yevama Shailas, right? Today, it's much less shchiach. But once upon a time, there were real tshuvas that were written b'negei Yevamas, and very often it was dealing with a situation where you had a woman, she's a Yevama, she's on one side of the world, and her husband died with no children, and there's a brother that's living on the other side of the world. So go find them now. And what's the halacha? What happens if, like in our case, he's a mummer, he doesn't want to do chalitza. So you'd be very incentivized to be soymich on the Shitas HaGa'onim. Mishum aguna akilu be'rabbonim. B'fraid you have a Shitas HaGa'onim. But you see, the Achronim were very, very hesitant to ever be soymich on this Shitas HaGa'onim, leaving a fascinating truth from the Neid of Yehuda on the table. Metz Hashem will pick it up in the coming days.